exciting what's going on here. And so Steve shared with me the series you guys are in Galatians and gave me my text, and I thought, great, you know, the first chapter of Galatians, there's great stuff in that. And being the deep man of preparation that I am, why I began looking into this passage late last week and realized that I had a passage that I could teach much easier in almost any city on earth than in Provo, Utah. This passage, I think, has particular applications right here in Utah, maybe most of all here in Provo. And when we read through it, you may pick that up as well. So it was really good for me to go, okay, wow, what am I going to share here? Because there's a chance that you all have already thought about this particular thing I feel like I'm supposed to address here this morning. And if you haven't, I think it'll be pretty relevant to your world. So here's what I want to do. We'll read our passage. Then I'm going to share with you about the first time I went to Macy's to get ice cream and couldn't find it. And then I'm going to use that story to fill out where we want to go in the rest of explaining this passage in Galatians. So that's where we're headed here. So let me pray and just ask the Lord to just take a few minutes here and give us some really practical, useful thoughts that I think can be put to good use the rest of our life, really. So Lord, we thank you that you are true. Thank you that one day each of us will stand before Jesus Christ. It is absolutely the truth. It's not just our story. It's not just our faith. It is reality. We will stand before you. We were made by you. And you have spoken and given us your word. Lord, help us to hold that truth that you've given us in deeper and more profound reality in our own lives, that we would look at it that way, that we would know these things. Pray to help me with that. Pray to help each one of us with that. Thanks, God, that we can look to you. Thanks, Jesus. You love to teach us. You love to teach. You teach every single day. You just want to teach us and tell us about yourself. Lord, may we have ears to hear this morning. In your name, amen. All right, well, the passage, and actually, I'm going to be a little remiss in my assignment because I'm not going to do it all. I'm only going to do the first two verses of it because the rest really amplify the first two verses, and they pick up with what was shared probably last week. Paul's writing to the Galatians, and Paul shared the gospel with these guys, brought them to Christ, left the church there, went away. He's writing them back. Some bad things have been going on. Other people have been coming in, sharing with them different ideas about God. And these guys are starting to believe these different ideas. And they're saying, hey, Paul just shares that stuff about grace. You know why he shares that stuff about grace? He shares that stuff about grace just because he's trying to get in with you. He wants you to like him, so he makes it easy. And he's lying to you about God. He's just saying it's all easy. It's all just God just gives it to you. And it's just because he wants you to like him. So Paul hears about this. He writes a letter to the Galatians. And he says things such as, but if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one, this is Galatians 1:8, then the we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say it again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than one what we accepted, that what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Verse 10, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Am I trying to please men? If I was still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. He's saying, listen, guys, I did not share that with you because I'm just trying to get you to like me. If anybody tells you anything different, they should be condemned forever. Wow, that is one of the strongest things Paul says in everything he writes right there. So now he's going to tell us, why am I speaking so strongly? And this is why he's speaking so strongly. And this is our text for today. And we begin in verse 11 and 12. And Paul says this, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I didn't receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, hey, I'm just not telling you what I read in some book somewhere. I'm not just telling you what, you know, Peter and James, they all told me. I went to school somewhere. No, God told me this.
I got this straight from God. And that's why I'm telling you, if anyone tells you anything different, they should be condemned. Because this came from God to me. Wow. The notion of revelation. And we need to understand that that's really, really important. Because if we start with the premise that God is really there, there's really somebody out there. We really live in somebody else's world. How are we going to get to know about God? Really, if there's really somebody out there, how do we know about him? There's really only two ways we can know about him. We can look at what he's done. We can look at stuff he's made, and we can draw conclusions about him. We can say, hey, God likes colors, obviously. God does cool stuff. God makes beautiful things. We can learn a lot about God. But then there's a limit. You can't learn a whole lot about God by looking at the creation. The only other way we can know anything else about God is if God tells us. All we really know of any detail about God is if God says, I'll tell you this. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you something about me. And when God tells us, then we go, oh, okay, thanks, because I could never figure it out. I could never understand it unless you tell me. So apart from the idea of revelation, God revealing it, we can't know about him. All right. So, God is going to reveal everything he wants us to know about him. And remember, God has two goals. One is to communicate his revelation, the things he tells us, in such a way that if you want to know, you can know for sure. That's God. I can know that message is from God. But if that's all God wanted, it'd be really easy to do that. He'd just appear and shout it in thunder and just cram it into our brain and we'd all just fall flat on our face in absolute terror knowing what he told us. He doesn't want that. He says, if you want to blow me off, I want to give you space to blow me off. For everybody that wants to know, I want to make it so clear that they can be sure, absolutely certain it's me. But if they want to blow me off, I want to leave them that room. So God will speak into the world in such a way that if you want to know and you keep looking, you can go, I can be absolutely certain that's God. But on the other hand, if you want to blow him off, you go, I don't see God. I don't see him. I just don't see him. And there's a lot of both of those kinds of people in the world, and that's how God wants it. One day it'll be different. One day he will come back, and it's every knee will bow, and we'll all hit the floor, and we'll just be, you know, like, oh my goodness, nobody's talking back now. Not yet. Not yet. Okay. That's our verse. Paul claimed the message that he preached came through a revelation from God. Now I'm going to ask you guys a question. Who else in history has made that claim? You guys think of anybody else in history that's claimed they got a message from God? Who? Egyptians thought they were gods. That's true. And there's been other people like that that thought their ruler was God. Who? Joseph Smith. Have you guys heard of Joseph Smith out here? Joseph Smith claimed he got a revelation from God, right? Just like Paul. Joseph Smith, Paul. Can anybody think of anybody else? So we got Joseph Smith. Muhammad. Muhammad claimed, hey, he brought a new religion. Why? Because he got a revelation from God. And we could maybe think of others. These are two of the main ones I think of. And of course, we got Paul. Now, let me ask you this. Do you believe all those guys? Do you believe any of those guys? Why do you believe the guy you believe? They're all saying the same thing. Hey, God spoke to me. God talked to me. Hey, I've gone door to door in this town. Well, actually, it's Salt Lake. And you know what? I talked to some people incredibly convinced. Just had me shaking in my boots. You are so certain of your faith, and it's not my faith. And you're so happy. And you're so fulfilled because God spoke to a man, and you believe him. But I don't think he did speak to that man. Why can I in confidence say my choice to believe one man and not believe another is correct and yours is wrong? You know what? If you think long enough, you'll figure that out. But the first time you engage with that, you go, oh, yeah, right. Well, that's where we're going to go next. But first, I'm going to tell you a story. We're going to talk about prophecies about Provo ice cream. Okay. My son was in Provo last year, Stephen, with the infusion team. And I came out to do a visit out here. And Stephen was working at Subway. And so he worked all day, so I went with him in the morning and sat around and had Subway for lunch and sat around. And I said, you know, Stephen, about in the middle of the afternoon, I said, Stephen, you know, I'd really like to get some ice cream. Is there anywhere around here to get ice cream? Oh, he said, oh, yeah, there's a great place. We all go get ice cream at Macy's. And then, you know, he was across the counter, so I said, okay. And I went back and sat down. And a little while later, I got hungry. I thought, man, I really would like ice cream. I just didn't know they had ice cream at Macy's. So I walked down to Macy's, and I felt a little self-conscious because I just wasn't expecting there to be any ice cream there. I went through every single department. I mean, I looked all over the entire store. I looked behind the pots and pans. I looked everywhere. I just thought, well, you know, he says they do this. But it seems so strange to me. So I finally went back and I sat down and I just didn't get any ice cream. I just waited for him to get off work. I said, you know, Stephen, I couldn't find the ice cream. He said, did you go to Macy's? I said, yeah, I went down to Macy's. He said, that's a long walk. I said, well, it's a ways. But, you know, it's just down at the other end of the mall. And he said, the other end of the mall? I said, yeah, Macy's at the other end of the mall. Well, my son has probably never even been in Macy's in his whole life in the mall. So he explained to me, no, actually, it's a grocery store. Well, I had never heard of a grocery store called Macy's. So we got our communication straight, and I realized why I couldn't get any ice cream at Macy's. I have since corrected that error. Now, let's change that story. That's a true story. Let's change it just a little bit. Let's say instead of us being confused about what we meant by Macy's, let's say my son Stephen said, Dad, God has spoken to me. They sell ice cream at Macy's department store in the mall. And I'm living in Colorado and I haven't been out here yet. But it's my job to plan a place for the President of the United States to come and get ice cream in Provo. So my son says, Dad, God has spoken to me. They sell ice cream at Macy's. Now, I can't come out and check it out. And so I have to make a decision. Am I going to believe my son? Obviously, he believes it. He's starting to print up brochures of all their ice cream flavors. He's doing all these things. I go, that guy really believes it. But I don't know. I'm just not sure. How can I figure it out since I can't go to Macy's and look? Okay? And we're going to use that. So we now have our four prophets. Joseph Smith, Muhammad, Paul, and Stephen. How are we going to judge these men? Okay, when should we believe a claim of a revelation from God? Well, the first thing we should do is when the claim fits everything else we know to be true. Now, if we were to talk about our prophet Stephen and Macy's, we would say drippy cones and sticky customers are anathema to the Macy image. I could think through, wow, so what do I know about Macy's? I know they got nice stuff in there, nice clothes. And I think, now would Macy's put a mom and three kids and four drippy ice cream cones walking around their store? I do not know. And all those sticky hands touching everything, I just go, I just don't think that fits with who Macy's says they are. And so I go, there's something that's not right here. It doesn't fit. Well, when we think about people who claim to speak for God, we can even be more specific because God has gone on record about several things, and one is this. In Malachi, in the book of Malachi, he says, I, the Lord, do not change. So, whatever, God doesn't necessarily tell us everything at once, but whatever he does tell us should be true. And since he doesn't change, it's always true. So once I can get something figured out, like with Macy's, I'd have to know Macy's, study Macy's, understand Macy's. The better I understand them, the more I'd be able to understand what makes sense with their future. With God, we have to know God, understand God, recognize not only his word, but his character. What is he like? What has he told us already? Because whatever it is, we know it doesn't change. It doesn't change. God may tell us more, but he's not going to tell us different. Well, you know what Muhammad received from God, supposedly in his revelation? He received the fact that Jesus was not crucified. That's what his revelation told him. Actually, Jesus ascended into heaven. Judas was crucified. It is blasphemy to claim that Jesus, the prophet, was crucified. But whoa. But if Jesus wasn't crucified, then he didn't die for my sins. That means the revelation God supposedly gave to Muhammad is exactly opposite the heart of everything that's in the Bible. But the Muslim would say that the Bible is an inspired writing of God because they believe in that scripture also. So they've got one that says this, and they've got one that says utterly, absolutely, totally opposite. That can't be right. Muhammad was also given this. Jesus was not God, and there is no Trinity. He was told that Jesus will return to rebuke the Christians when he comes back. He's going to come back and rebuke us all for not believing in Muhammad. And he's only going to live for 40 years, and then he's going to die. That's what happens when Jesus returns. And he's going to be wearing two yellow tunics, and he's going to have red hair. That's what Muhammad was told. So we go, whoa, wait a minute. If it's true that it says, I, the Lord, do not change, and I'm supposed to believe the same God said this as said this, I go, I don't think there's a basis to receive that. One of these are not the same two voices speaking these things. Now, when we talk about Joseph Smith, I am not as much of an expert on this. You guys may know a lot more about this. Some of what I share might not be quite correct, so I won't spend a lot of time here. This is what I understand. Joseph Smith he was given a revelation. He was spoken to by God. And in the understanding of what he was given and what is communicated is that God is not an infinite transcendent being, but he is created. As I understand, the doctrine is, as God is, man can be, as man is, God once was. That would be really, really different. I don't want to misrepresent anything, but if that's what's represented, then that's very different than what's in the Bible. The destiny of those who please him most is not to be with him. As I understand, if you really fully follow the will of God, you end up in a place different than where Jesus is. Well, that's exactly opposite of what Jesus told us specifically. He said he's going to prepare a place for us, for his followers, for his 12, for the closest, so they can be with him. He prayed to the Father. He says, Father, I want them to be with me. You know, that's true in Islam and in every other religion. You know, you get to go kind of do your own thing. That's the promise. Well, you'd be really good and you get your own world to do whatever you want, you know. Down here, you have to obey the rules. Up there, you get to make the rules. Ha, that's what happens when you obey. God says, no. You do what's right, and forever you get to be with your Father. That's your reward. And that fits with the whole flow of the Bible. All consistent. It's all about relationship. It's all about God's love with us, and will we receive it and come back? That's what it's all about. It's not us finally getting to be independent, do our own thing with no consequences. It's not getting your 70 virgins. It's being with your Father in relationship forever. There's also an issue of the Muslim. Muhammad made no predictions that have any historical claims, but Joseph Smith did. And as I understand, those claims are not verified, but they should be if it's really God, if God spoke to him. What about Paul? Well, his message fits the Old Testament precisely. And we could look at a couple places, but for sake of time, I won't here. But let's look at one in Ephesians chapter 3. There's actually three places where Paul refers to his revelation that I know of, the fact that God spoke to him. And the clearest is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you want to read the most in the Bible about Paul's revelation, read 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But in chapter 3 of Ephesians, he just mentions it. And I'll read this beginning in verse 2. He says, surely you've heard about the administration or the responsibility to manage or express God's grace that was given to me for you. In other words, Paul says, God's given this so that I can put it in the world, this message. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation. as I have already written you briefly. In reading this, then, what I wrote before, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Hey, read what I wrote to you last time. You know, I talked about my revelation, how God spoke to me, and then you'll understand why I know this stuff, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery, now he's going to tell us what it is. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. What is it? What was Paul told? What was he given? He says, this is what God told me. He says, this message of grace in Christ is for everybody, every single person, the Jew and the Gentile. In Paul's day, especially as a Pharisee, Paul was taught from youth, God only loves the Jews. Everyone else are dogs. You don't even eat with them. You don't even associate with them. You don't even make friends with them. They're like the untouchables. They're the Gentiles. And to this Pharisee that was so strong in this, Paul knocked him, or God knocked him off his horse and says, you listen to me. This is the message. The grace of Jesus Christ is for every single person. I made them all. I love them all. You go tell them. That was what Paul believed to the depth of his soul through the revelation supernaturally God spoke to him. There is a message of love at that particular time that was sent to the entire world and is still sent to this day. God loves every person in Jesus Christ. That's the message. Does that fit with the Old Testament? You bet it does. Abraham was told that his descendants would be a blessing to the entire world. God speaks often of the Gentiles in the prophets, loving them and wanting them to come. And the Jews took all that and they went the wrong direction and they misunderstood the heart of their own text. It fits perfectly with what was there. We could talk more about that, but God does not change. So when should we believe a claim in Revelation? When the claim fits everything else we know to be true? And when God tells us beforehand the revelation's coming. Interesting verse in Amos. Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. You know what that means? God will never do anything big without telling you first he's going to do it. God will never do anything big without telling you first he's going to do it. So in Macy's, what will we do? We'd read the business news. Hey, if they're going to sell ice cream, they'll be telling people this is going to happen. What about Muhammad? You know what? Muhammad brought a radically new, different teaching. There is not one shred of prophecy in his coming or about his message or about his content. He just appears out of nowhere. You do not find Islamic scholars going to the Old Testament going, so see all these prophecies about Muhammad? Yeah, see, he was coming. We can say the same thing about Joseph Smith. There is no prophecy of his coming, his message, or its content. But we're told the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. So anything that's really from God, God will say, and that's how he confirms it, right? If I were to say to you, it is God's will for you to move to Boise, Idaho. God told me, you move to Boise, Idaho. You go, that's really weird. Do I believe this guy? What if I were to tell you, listen, tomorrow you're going to be at home and a man is going to run out of gas five houses down in your street. He's going to go to every single house asking for gasoline. No one will be home until he reaches your door. When he reaches your door, you will be the first to open it. And when you open it, you will have a short conversation in which he will mention the town in which he was born. That town in which he was born is where you are to go and move to. Right after he mentions that, he will see a friend coming down the road. He will leave, and that friend will have gas for him, and he will go. And the next day, exactly that happens. Would you go, I'm supposed to move to Boise? Why? Because it was proven it was from God, because something had been spoken previous. God says, I want you to know it's me. Anybody can be convinced and tell you they believe. I want you to know it's me, and this is how you're going to know. Nothing big's happening. But what I will tell you first, if there's no prophecies, it's not me. So what about Paul? You know, there was no direct prophecy of his coming. There's no prophecies that a guy named Paul is going to speak. But there are hundreds of prophecies over centuries of time predicting the subject and the message of his revelation. Over and over and over and over, the thing Paul announced, the Bible said was coming. The very thing, it fits perfectly. And when we look at verses like in Acts 26, we find Paul saying this, but I've had God's help to this very day. And so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I'm saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen. Do you notice that? Paul isn't saying, hey, I got something new here. I got something new. He's saying, I don't got nothing new. You go read it. It's already in there. Jesus himself, did Jesus say, hey, I got something new? Jesus said this after he rose from the dead. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he, Jesus, explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. He said, guys, God's already told you. You know how I know this is true? You know how I know I'm the Christ? Because it's all in there. God is telling you, this is me. When the apostles preached their first sermon, they preached this, indeed, all the prophets from Samuel on, as many as have spoken, have foretold these days. Peter preached this, all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Nothing that was not already spoken did Paul bring through his revelation. So when should we believe a claim of a revelation from God? When the claim fits everything else we know to be true. When God tells us beforehand the revelation is coming. And three, when the revelation from God is communicated by God in many other ways. So with our prophet Stephen, are other people getting this revelation, or is he the only one? With Muhammad, the revelation came to him alone. You know, you take Muhammad out of the picture historically, there is no Islam. It is completely gone. No one got anything like that but Muhammad. Now, it's my understanding the same thing is true with Joseph Smith. No one got a revelation but Joseph Smith. Take him out of the picture, it's gone. Is that true with our faith? Absolutely not. The message of grace to all through the cross of Christ was not new with Paul. He got it from God, but he wasn't the only one who got it from God. They were preaching it before he even knew Christ. God brought it many different ways. We can think about the Gentiles getting saved through Cornelius, and he was the first Gentile to get saved, and Paul had nothing to do with it. He was 500 miles away to the north, and God sent this message to Peter. And let me see if I have this verse here. In Acts chapter 11, Peter went to these Gentiles, and he had dinner with them of all things. And then he shared the gospel with them, and they all got saved. Oh, horrible, terrible thing. Because he went back and told all the other Jewish believers, and they said, you were sharing the gospel with Gentiles? He says, hey, this is what happened. And it says in chapter 11 of Acts, it says, the apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, you went into the house of uncircumcised men and you ate with them. How dare you eat with uncircumcised men? Peter began, and he explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it, and I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." I replied, "Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth." The voice spoke from heaven a second time, "Don't call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, "Send a Joppa for Simon, who's called Peter. He'll bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved." As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them, as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, "John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus, who was I to think that I could oppose God? It's not my fault I went and shared with these Gentiles. When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life." God brought the message lots of ways. Let me just share one more verse. Galatians chapter 2. I'm going to touch on where somebody may be going next week, but it relates very much to us. Because Paul was often looked down on because he was sharing this message of grace that he'd gotten directly from God with Gentiles. It didn't all end at once. And in chapter 2, he defends himself here. He says, 14 years later, he's talking about the course of his life, and he's out saved, and he's out preaching, and some stuff happens. Then he says, 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation and set before them the gospel that I preached among the Gentiles. In other words, he set before the apostles, all the important people in the church. He says, "This is what I'm telling people. I did this privately to those who seemed to be leaders for fear that I was running or had run my race in vain." You know, maybe these official guys are all going to say, "You're wrong. You can't say that. Don't teach that." Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised. That's how he became a Jew, as you got circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because some false brothers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ, to make us slaves. When we didn't give in to them for a moment, so the truth of the gospel might remain with you. And then catch this last verse. As for those who seem to be important, 12 apostles, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not judge by external appearance. Those men added nothing to my message. In other words, the message that God gave Paul directly through Revelation, they had nothing to add to that. God gave it all to Paul through Revelation. But you know what else is true? Paul had nothing to add to their message. God gave this message in place after place after place. I really believe you and I can come to the conclusion that the God who made us has sent a message into the world. There is a real God. He's proven it through prophecy, through the ways he has worked, so that you and I, if you're, we're all one of two kinds of people. You either want the right to blow God off and he'll give you the space, or you need to really know, is there really a God? Is there really a God who's spoken to me? And I'm telling you, there is really a God who has spoken to us, and he sent us a message. And that message from God is that we are all accepted by him through what he accomplished in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Every person, no matter where you're at, no matter how rich, no matter how poor, no matter how functional, no matter how broken, you were made by God. He will never walk away from you. And in Christ, He has covered everything He needs to put His hands all over you and to wrap you into His heart as His very own. That is the message from God. It's the message you and I have been told to teach. I did not get it by revelation. I got it by reading other people's revelation. But I know it's from God by the way He gave it. I believe it. But each one of us have to decide, will you believe God's message to you? God, your maker, your father. He is the father of your spirit. Where'd you come from? Not your mom and dad. They gave you your biological body and some experiences. You, the you that will live forever. Where did you come from? You came from God. He's the father of your spirit. And He bought you back in Christ. And He sent you a message. And the message is, come home. Come home. Come home. Now, you may never have heard that message before. If you've never heard it before, I want to challenge you. Do you believe it? If that's not clear enough, you can keep looking. Look. You know what? It's true. It's not just words. It's true. It's true. God has sent you a message. If you've never accepted that message from your Father, I want to give you a chance to pray with me right now. Tell God you believe it. Receive that love in Jesus Christ and receive eternal life. Let's all pray together. God, I thank You that You made this world, this beautiful, amazing world, and You spoke into it, and that's the only way we could know anything. And the message that You've sent is that You love us all. That's Your message. That's Your message. And You actually supernaturally revealed it to different people. One of those people we looked at today, his name was Paul. But it's true, and You put it a lot of places. And Lord, I pray that You would grant people grace right here now, whether they've known it for years or they've never heard it, to receive it anew. You made them. You love them. You're real. It's Your world. And if you've never told God you believe and accept that, I just want you to pray with me right now. You just pray this. God, thank You that You would accept me. Lord, in so many ways, I'm just a Gentile. In all the bad stuff people ever imagined, I'm selfish, and I just want to live my own life, and I've messed up so many things. And God, there's no way I could come to You based on anything I deserve. But it is Your desire, as my maker, to receive and accept me. That's what You say in Your message. Lord, I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I accept what You did for me. In Jesus Christ. God, I take that offer and that gift and that love. God, I want to belong to You. I want to come home. I want to come home. I receive You, Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe that I belong to You. If you prayed that prayer, you need people to help you walk in that new life. You talk to Mac, you talk to somebody else here at The Rock. You are on a new journey. You belong now to God. You've come home, and you need to learn what that means. Lord Jesus, we love You. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, John. That was super encouraging. Well,